A reading by Anne Lamott, Why Sam Goes to Church. Sam is the only kid he knows who goes to church, or who is made to go to church. He rarely wants to. Well, that's not exactly true. The truth is he never wants to go. What young boy would rather be in church on the weekends than hanging out with a friend? It doesn't help him to be reminded that once he's there, he enjoys himself, that he gets to spend the time drawing in the little room outside the sanctuary, that he only actually has to sit still and listen during the very short children's sermon. It does not help that I always pack some snacks, some Legos, his art supplies, and bring along any friend of his whom we can lure into our churchy web. It does not help that he genuinely cares for the people there. All that matters to Sam is that he, alone among his colleagues, is forced to spend Sunday morning at church. You might think, noting the bitterness, the resignation, that he was being made to sit through a six-hour Latin mass. Or you might wonder why I make this strapping, exuberant boy come with me most weeks. And if you were to ask, this is what I would say. I make him go because I can. I outweigh him by nearly 75 pounds. But that is only part of it. The main reason is that I want to give him what I found in the world, which is to say, a path and a little light to see by. Most of the people I know who have what I want, which is to say, purpose, heart, balance, gratitude, and joy, these are people with a deep sense of spirituality. They are people in community, people who pray or practice their faith. They are Buddhists, Jews, Christians, people banding together to work on themselves and to work for human rights. They follow a brighter light than the glimmer of their own candle. They are part of something beautiful. I saw something once from the Jewish Theological Seminary that said, a human life is like a single letter of the alphabet. It can be meaningless, or it can be part of a greater meaning.
Our second reading is from A. Powell Davies. Let me tell you why I come to church. I come to church, and would whether I was a preacher or not, because I fall below my standards and need to be constantly brought back to them. It's not enough that I should think about the world and its problems at the level of a newspaper report or a magazine discussion. It could too soon become too low a level. I must have my conscience sharpened until it goads me to the most thorough and responsible thinking of which I am capable. I must feel again the love I owe my fellow men and women. I must not only hear about it, but feel it. In church, I do. I need to be reminded that there are things I must do in the world, unselfish things, things undertaken at the level of idealism. Workaday enthusiasms are not enough. They wear out too soon. I want to explain human nature and experience human nature at its best and be reminded of its highest possibilities. And this happens to me in church. It may seem as though the same thing could be found in solitude, but it does not easily happen so. We meet each other as friends and neighbors anywhere and everywhere, but we seldom do so in the consciousness of our soul's deepest yearnings. But in church we do, in a way that protects us from all that is intrusive, yet leaves us knowing that we all have the same yearnings, the same spiritual loneliness, the same need of assurance and faith and hope. We are brought together at the highest level possible. We're not merely an audience. We are a congregation. I doubt whether I could stand the thought of the cruelty and misery of the present world unless I could know, through an experience that renewed itself over and over again, that at the heart of life there is assurance, that I can hold an ultimate belief that all is well. And this happens in church. Life must have its sacred moments and its holy places. The soul will always seek its nurture. For religious experience, which is life at its most intense, life at its best, is something we cannot do without. Well, once again, it's great to see you here at the start of another church year. Some of you I've seen almost every Sunday for the past 14 years, and many of you were here for decades before I arrived. Lots of others have joined the church within the last few years, and some of you are new, maybe even here for the first or second time. But whether this is your first or your 50th in-gathering Sunday, whether you are an every Sunday regular, a lapsed church goer who's back after a while away from the community, or just checking us out to see if you might like to be part of this thing we do each week, I think it's a good Sunday to focus on why we do what we do. Why do we come together each Sunday for this ritual? Why do we bring our children and enroll them in religious education? Why do we need this religious thing? What do we need it for anyway? Let's face it. There are other things you could do on Sunday morning. And lots of people have given up on church. They've simply decided they don't need it in their life. Recent polls all show that there has been a dramatic decrease in this country in those who identify themselves as part of any religion. In fact, when asked the question about religious affiliation, the largest growing group is nuns. Not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. Some of those folks will tell you that it's because of their difficult experience with the religion in which they were raised. Others will recite to you a list of crimes and atrocities committed in the name of religion. Still others will proclaim that science has refuted all the sacred texts. They all conclude, why bother with it? They conclude that they have no need for any church in their lives. Now, I don't disagree with their premises. Many of us have scars from being raised in religions that judged us sinners. And it is certainly true that heinous crimes have been committed in the name of religion. And I don't disagree that many biblical explanations of the world no longer commend themselves to the modern scientific mind. However, I do disagree with the conclusion that therefore we as individuals no longer need religion. I believe we need to come together and practice a religion just as much as our forebears of biblical times did. It's not enough to be an ethical person. It's not enough to have a regular private spiritual practice. I think that without church, there is something important missing in our lives. Well, while I was on sabbatical, I had occasion to think about why I go to church and to talk with other people about it. It's amazing if you go to a social gathering and you get outed as a minister, how often there will be someone there who feels the need to challenge what you do. Now, I've been doing this long enough to be familiar with the bait the minister at the cocktail party game. It is generally not the best place to discuss religion, so I generally try to change the subject. But when that anti-church person assaults me with, give me one good reason why I should go to church, I often can't resist the bait. So this morning I'm going to take the bait and try to answer that question. But in a bit more controlled situation than a cocktail party, where I have to think of a witty but substantive short reply before my assaulter moves on to the next victim. So let's start. First, by answering the question of why should we go to church or be part of a church, by saying that there is not one good reason. There are many. And for different folks, and for the same folks at different times in their lives, one or more of those reasons will be the important one. The readings in the hymn we just sing get at some of those reasons, but here's my checklist. We need the church community for mutual support. In good times and in bad times, and even in those times in between. In true religious community, the mutual support that we provide to each other as we travel life's journey is critical. We are connected in our giving to and our receiving from each other in so many ways, in ways that we don't even recognize. Of course, we easily recognize the needs of those who are ill or who have lost a loved one. Just yesterday, we had a memorial service here for a longtime member. And standing here, I could feel the support of this community for his family. Certainly, this kind of support is very important at times of loss or illness. But there are many other more subtle intimacy needs being met in a gathered church community like this one. The need to make some music together, or just to relate to another person in an honest and open way, or the need to share just a bit of your story and be accepted for who you are. You may say, I can find that support elsewhere, or I can help out a neighbor without having to be part of a church, and that is all true, but it's not the same. The connections here have their basis in something else. They have their basis in tradition, in faith, in something that pulls us to be there for people we might otherwise not. We meet people differently in church than we do in other places in community. As A. Paul Davies said, here we meet in the context of the soul's deepest yearning. Here we are, our giving comes from a deeper place, and that's felt by the receiver. We're in a long-term relationship here, and we know if we are here for a while, there will be times when we are givers and other times when we are receivers, and we will feel good about that. 1 week we're sending a card to a member who's struggling with an illness, and perhaps the very next week we're receiving words of sympathy for the loss of one of our family members. A person facing cancer treatment once said to me, this is tough. I know I need the support of others, and that's what I find here. These are the people I want around me as I travel this journey. I've always been a giver. It's hard to be a receiver, but somehow in this community, I can be, and right now, I need to be. We sometimes sing the words, from you I receive, to you I give, together we share, and by this we live. I think that captures it, the first reason for being part of a church. But it's certainly not the only reason. Why we need a church, there are many others. The church is a place of learning and growth and formation. In Anne Lamont's words, people band together here to work on themselves. Here's a place that can help you become the person you want to be. It can help us connect with our deeper self and help us discover what's at the core of our personal faith. We want this not just for ourselves, but also for our children and for the other children of others. Now, if you're a parent, I bet you can identify with that story about getting Sam to go to church. I know it can be a struggle sometimes to get kids here, even though when they get here, they usually have a great time. As Anne Lamont points out, there are some real compelling reasons to make your child come to church. Just being here exposes our children to a balanced, meaningful, spiritual way of being in the world. And we do offer a path and some light to illuminate the way. We also offer friendship, acceptance, intergenerational connections, and honest love. We offer an opportunity to work together on social justice issues. We help a child grow a conscience, and we teach her how to serve others in need. This leads us to the third reason, I believe, for both children and adults, we need to go to church. Paraphrasing Davies, here we have our conscience sharpened. Here we are reminded of the unselfish things we must do for the world. Here we apply the highest principles and religious teachings to the issues of our time. Here we are inspired to stand for justice and love and peace and acceptance and against violence and hate. And here together we do things in furtherance of those ends. And we can do so much more together than we can accomplish as a single individual. We need a church to be part of meaningful collective effort. The Reverend Mark Morrison Reed put it this way, "The religious community is essential. For alone, our vision is too narrow to see all that we must see and our strength too limited to do all that we must do. But together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed." You know, it seems to me that today many people live very disconnected lives. They fail to see either the need for the community of a church or the need to engage deeply exploring what's true and at the ground of their being. It's a waste of time and they're busy. They seem to know all the answers and don't need interactions with others to determine where they're going, yet they really seem to have no compass. They often choose superficial lives, and even when things are going very well, they never seem to be quite satisfied. They vacillate on moral issues or take the easy and momentarily popular road. For many of them, personal economic gain seems to be their principal guiding philosophy. Yet their accomplishments don't bring them the joy they thought they might. They often feel alone, finding it's hard to trust others. They never find the place of fuller and richer life because they lack connections and they're looking in the wrong place. But there's the person who lives a very different life. This person does not have all the answers, but is willing to engage the questions. She hears the call of conscience. He comes to church because he needs to be called time and time again to his best self. In both gathered worship and personal time of reflection, she strives to connect to the deep place of fullness and of truth and of love that can serve as a compass on life's journey. His life is not without challenges, but he meets those challenges standing on firm ground with courage and love and trust that things will work out. She feels the support of others, and she takes joy in serving others and engaging with others in serving the greater community. He feels connected to others. There is a simple joy in this kind of person's life. And their ongoing quest for those deep connections really makes their life worth living. You know, the world actually pulls us to be that first kind of person. But I want to be the second type. And I bet you do too. It's pretty simple. That's why we need to go to church. And I need to go all the time. You know, you don't graduate from church. You don't ever complete the course. Each Sunday adds something new or renews something old. One thing that actually makes church work is, in fact, the regularity. In another of her books, Anne Lamott put it this way, "I go to church every Sunday, which is like going to the gas station once a week and really, really filling up." What I'm telling you is something I personally know. I can easily lose resolve, get fed up with people, stress out over too much work to do, and think that maybe church is the last place I need to be. But when I arrive at church, when I see the faces of people whose stories of love and caring and courage and commitment I deeply know, when we sing the hymns or light that chalice or say our covenant, I can actually feel my spiritual gas tank filling up. Each Sunday here is an invitation to fill your tank, to come and go to a place of caring for one another, a place of spiritual growth, a place of clear moral thinking and meaningful collective action. Won't you again this year? Or maybe for the first time in a long time? Or maybe for the first time ever? Come and go with us to that place.